to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
I need to stop talking to myself. I'm a very bad influence.
And Dale Hummel.
I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction. The world will have a generation of idiots.
We already do.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Please take us to...
No, I have, nope. Stop. I have the most current event of all current events.
Oh, gosh, your CNN poll.
No, even better than that. I would like for Dale Hummel to either explain or I will explain how he missed his flight. That's the most current event of all current events.
This was not on the radar.
This is the most current event of all current events because he makes fun of every stupid thing that I do. So this is going to go down. You offered up this information, sir. You didn't have to tell me.
It was not offered up. Just please go ahead.
So Dale's flying home from his show that he judged this past weekend. And evidently, he's at the gate. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. He gets on his phone and he takes multiple calls and misses the whole boarding process. Like, all of it. Like, he looks up and door is closed. You don't get to go no more.
Plane is gone. But there's more to it than that.
That's all I got, sir. That is what I got from you.
There was a connecting flight from Spokane to Seattle, Seattle to Chicago. So I'm in Seattle. It's an hour connection, plenty of time. Everything's going great. I get to my gate and I don't assume it was boarding yet. I didn't pay a lot of attention, but I'm pretty sure it was not. It was just a few gates down from where I got in. And this has happened to me before, not to this level, but I did take a few calls about a goat with this problem or that problem and was on the phone. And as you said, I did continue on the phone. I probably was distracted. And by the time I looked up and it said, I don't remember what they say, gate is closed, plane is gone. I don't know what it was. But I go up to the counter and I said, hey, did the flight already take off or where are we at? Oh, yeah, we're just pulled back from the gate. You're done. They claimed that they announced my name several times. Ryan, I was maybe 10 yards from this lady from where I were to get a. Yeah, I know they do. I'm not arguing they did. I was zoned out. I wasn't paying attention. Yes, I missed my flight. Luckily, there was one an hour later.
Current event of all current events.
No, that is not the most. It's current, but it's not newsworthy.
Yes, it is. It is the most newsworthy.
Oh, may we move on?
Okay, so, which I told Dale this yesterday, and he told me that he didn't know anything about it, but like the college campuses around America, they're all making encampments or taking over buildings and all this other stuff in protest of their anti-Israel and all this other stuff and whatever. And I briefly brought this up last week. I don't know if it was on the podcast or to Dale, but I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand it, whatever. But like, it's rampant. It's everywhere. And this is going to have a very major effect on the next election, because there's been a bunch of polls come out, but one of them said that 31% of voters, that the war in Israel was a major factor on how they were going to vote. Another 18% said it was the deciding factor in how they were going to vote. So I am an Aggie, not by choice. I was made to go. We're not great on math, but 31 and 18, what's that tell you, Dale? That's almost half the country. Half.
Half.
You can add 31 and 18, right?
And that's close to half. I think the problem, this is insane what we're seeing. Absolutely insanity. But our problem is we have a populace that a week from now, it's out of their mind. They're done. It's gone. I don't get it. There should be multiple things that we would hang Biden on in terms of not getting him reelected, which I believe is going to happen, but that the news cycle is so fast, it's just one thing after another. There'll be multiple things between now and then, and this will be forgotten.
I don't not think by this me. Is going to be. If the war in Israel is not going to be over, so it's not going to be forgotten. I think you're a little off.
I think it's on the radar for such a short period of time compared to where we used to be. And I the only thing I can attribute it to is primarily social media, because we're fed so much information so quickly that it just, we just move on. I try not to, I don't believe you do, but there is a large portion of the population that if it's not right there in their face that day, it's gone. It's in the back of their mind. It's not being looked at. I hope I'm wrong.
I think this is going to be something that sticks. And
I mean, they're basically standing up for terrorism.
I don't know if I brought it up on last week, but that's what I don't understand is when you're saying you're anti-Israel, that means you're for Hamas, which is a bunch of terrorists. And my deal is Hamas are terrorist groups in general. Like, they're after Israel right now, but they're not going to stop there. They've attacked us. You and all these other people, and I'm not disagreeing with y'all on this, but y'all said that, well, we can't let Putin get Ukraine because he won't stop there. If China gets Taiwan, they won't stop there. Okay, maybe, but let me tell you something. Other than, like, the Cold War, I don't ever remember Russia doing anything hazardous, treacherous, or anything to us yet. Same with China. Terrorist groups have attacked America.
Time out.
Yeah.
China funds everything they can.
I'm talking
negative towards
America. I'm talking everything. Like killing Americans other than COVID, which I think China did that.
Fentanyl?
Fentanyl?
Have you heard of the drug fentanyl?
Yes, I have.
Where is that coming from?
China. But okay. Anyway. Okay, maybe I should rephrase. Russia. Russia has not actively killed Americans, but
I think only because they're not capable.
Okay, but terrorists have. That's my point.
And they will.
Y'all need to worry less about Ukraine and more about Hamas is my point in all this.
That's a very good point. And who is backing them?
Who's backing Hamas?
And most of the terrorist groups?
Iran.
Yeah, so what should we do?
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but, and the other thing is, you know, Biden has not addressed any of this.
I'm aware. I don't think he's awake yet this morning.
But this has not just happened yesterday.
No, I understand. He's hiding. I mean, did you see the last, I don't know, I guess he got through that White House roasting news dinner, whatever it was.
White House correspondence dinner.
Yes. But the little bit that I've witnessed that they let him out, it just gets compoundingly worse. And once he goes so far into nowhere land or incoherency, and then the next time it's even worse. The man doesn't even know where he's at, and he's the president of the free world. I give up.
I know, I'm not arguing with you there on any of that.
But. And I am so, Ryan, common sense tells you and I, they cannot run that man this fall. They can't. They won't.
So I saw something on Twitter yesterday, and X. But so now the conspiracy theorist on all this is they're going to get to the convention, and Joe's going to step down, and Gavin's going to be the nominee, and Hakeem Jeffries is going to be the vice president, which I have said for like a year, I don't see how they run him. I still don't see how they run him. I am done trying to figure out if they are or not. But here is my thing. If they're going to take him out and run, well, what's going to happen to Camel Toe?
Like, I think she gets set to the side.
Okay, but how do you do that?
You just don't. You just do it. I obviously they know that her approval rating is zero. They just completely bypass her. And so nobody's who's going to stand up for her? Nobody. Not even on the Democrat side.
I just don't know how that.
I agree. It maybe is a little bit awkward thinking about what do you do with her, but she is so unliked by all.
No,
by everybody.
Will. Not they Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore loves her.
Got it.
Did you see that interview?
I, I did. I don't remember which one.
No, it was just like 2 days ago.
No.
You, Drew Barrymore says the whole United States needs a hug and Camel Toe needs to be the mamala of the United States. Great. I almost puked.
Great, great, mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm.
Mamala.
Yeah. It's not good. Far from good. Are we done about the negative in the world yet?
Well, no, I just want to put up one other thing and then you can do whatever else you want to. But so, again, I'm not a huge person on polls, but I do find some of them interesting. And CNN, who I believe like CNN, Corrupt Newswork, Clinton's Newswork, News Network, whatever you want to call it. I don't think there's a whole bunch of honesty going on around there. So they reported a poll. And in this poll, there was a lot of things like 61% of Americans see Joe Biden's presidency as a failure. 55% look back on Trump's presidency as a success, all this other stuff. But this one little thing kind of went unnoticed a lot. And actually, the only person that I have heard report this or talk about this other than I noticed it is my man Joe Kennedy from Louisiana, which I love him. 52% of the people in this poll said they would not vote for Joe Biden under any circumstances. Now, that doesn't say they're going to vote for Trump or they're going to vote, but 52% said under any circumstances would they cast a vote for Joe Biden? No. Zero.
Did they have the same for Trump or no?
No, they did not.
I would be curious what that number is. Unfortunately, I bet it's in the 40s.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not, but that's telling.
No, it is telling because
I think the thing is like voter turnout's going to be an all-time low if it truly is Joe and Trumpy.
I agree completely, but if they flip out for Gavin or somebody, even though you know what we think of the record in California and what a mess it is, but if they flip out at the last minute for him, I think voter turnout will be through the roof for the Democrats. I don't like that scenario. I do not. Zero like it. I would love for Joe to stay there, but they can't be that stupid. That's where I'm at. They cannot be. I hope they are, but they can't be.
No, the only other thing that the whole Trump New York trial is just whatever, but at least somebody got to the judge and told him, look, you've got to let him go to Barron's, his son's high school graduation. So they did get told Friday that he can attend his son's high school graduation. Isn't that nice of that man? Such a nice guy.
It is. I kind of like the thought that he wasn't allowed to, and that was going to give him a little more sympathy in the polls and in voting time. So it's good that he gets to go, but if graduation versus winning the election, Barron, sorry, buddy, you're on your own. Just is what it is. I wanted to share something positive, and sometimes I forget to do that in the current events. Ryan, and you, maybe you've already seen some of these, and I just haven't, but to some of the showmanship awards that I were at the show this past weekend, basically neon lights for the Supreme Goat, for the Supreme Species Showman.
Really, what do you mean, really, neon lights?
Literally, they were, I don't know how to explain it. They were neon lights you'd hang on the wall like a...
Oh, like bar sign type thing. Yeah, oh, no, I haven't seen those.
Just, I mean, really, I tried to buy one off of one of the little showmen at the backdrop, and $500 didn't get it. They were out. They weren't going there. But they're really, really intriguing. I believe there is one huge downside of them that I think they came from
China.
Yeah, I think so. But they were intriguing. I don't know what they cost, anything like that, but those showmen were pretty excited about them. I liked them a great deal.
I had never seen those before.
And for those of you now understanding that maybe I am incoherent when I'm on the phone and in a zone, that this flight issue that I had, Ryan,
mm-hmm.
my wife reminds me it's a good thing Chase is navigating our flights to Africa.
I don't know.
We will not miss them. We'll be okay.
Yeah. I just think a hippopotamus is going to kill you, but I hope it doesn't get chased.
I hope not as well. No, it'll all be good. What do you have today for BTR JLA news?
Yeah, hold on. I got several things.
You got top 10 in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, hold on. I want to thank Corey and JC Kiefer for being a sponsor for the third year. Kiefer Auctions. We appreciate them very much. Kiefer Auctions is a full service auction company in North Texas area with 26 years of experience that is family owned and operated. Above all, Corey and JC Kiefer certainly understand the importance of providing their customers with the most advantageous return on their product. Establishing a relationship built on honesty and integrity is a priority for them. They also sell various types. They have various types of auctions, and from farm and ranch equipment, fundraisers, galas, business liquidations, livestock, estate sales, and more. Corey is a licensed auctioneer in the state of Texas and is available for any type of auction. This is their third year being a huge BTR JLA sponsor. So thank you, Kiefer Auctions and JC and Corey Kiefer. And I have the top 10 senior cattle. In first place, Shelby Neeson of California. Second place, Tyler Lindsay of Mississippi. Third, Emma Graft of Ohio. Fourth, Tatum Poff, Ohio. Next is Tyler Poquette of Arizona, followed by Kyle Taylor of Idaho, Kaylee Sager of Ohio, Taylor Poff of Ohio, Delaney Lucy of West Virginia, and rounding out the top 10 is Morgan Fearman from Idaho. There you go.
Congratulations. That was good. I would like to remind our listeners who pays our producer Clifton each and every week. That would be ShowFresh H2O. Help your show stock stay hydrated and help give back to this industry by giving ShowFresh H2O a try. You can find ShowFresh H2O at your local farm store, show supply trailer, or at SwampFox.com.
Okay, so before we go into the main topic, since I made fun of you, I'm going to make fun of myself. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, it's called balance. So for those who saw me at the show this weekend, you'll probably notice like half of my face, like I look like I was fighting in the Hamas war or whatever. So Thursday night, this is just to explain because I had lots of people, whatever. Thursday night, we're standing in line at a bar and, on the sidewalk waiting to get in. All this other stuff. And this group, there's like a bachelorette party group behind me and whatever, all this other stuff. Anyhow, two of them, and it was not the bride. I don't know if they're, I didn't know these girls, never seen them, whatever. They start going at it. I mean, like, whatever. Well, in the process of their cat fight, they took me and two other people down with them. We were casualties of this. And so, yeah, I had a knee and half of my face all scarred up, scratched up, whatever. But see, there you go, Dale. You missed a flight, but I was a casualty. I was the victim of the other people. They tried to make it into a hate crime. I was like, these two girls were fighting each other. I just want to go in the bar. Okay. The other two little queens, they were very upset, but
all from the same bridal party, obviously.
Well, no, there was two other guys that were standing in line that, like, got taken out in this. You see what I'm saying?
And they were thinking hate crime.
They were very upset. Very, very, very upset.
And makeup would not cover this?
I tried as best as I could.
I know when I received that picture, my first thought was, I know that you're not maybe the best driver, that it was a car accident.
No, was not. I got taken out by some bachelorette people, but yeah. So
that's a better story anyway.
At least I make fun of myself as long as I make fun of me.
I was just in a zone trying to do a little customer service and missed my flight. I was very, very fortunate. There was one about an hour later and there was a couple seats left on it. So all good. Complications with classifications. I think this has been on the radar for us for a while, has it not?
Yes.
It's time.
Yeah. I mean, things just happen and, you know.
And it'll be good because I think a lot of the people in the north, I mean, it's just for the most part, our shows, it is in this part of the world, a breed registration paper, you're pretty much showing in that breed.
Well, and I mean, I want to talk about that too. It's not just classification. And so like, I think Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, that's probably classification states or whatever, but like, so, talking about up there in the north, you have a breed, whatever it is, you get a paper and then you're that breed. Okay. And we've discussed this otherwise. I'm not saying that the majority of people are lying, but unless there is, when you do this deal up north and you have an Angus steer or, you know, a Shropshire sheep or whatever, like, do they pull hair? Do they pull blood? Do they check that to the paperwork? Or it's just you have a paper, so you are what you are?
I cannot speak for all shows, but most of the shows are going to just go off of that paper. They're not pulling blood. They're not pulling hair. There's a threat of doing such at some of the state fairs. And I'm sure some of the
state fairs. So y'all are going with the honor system, basically.
Not completely, but they're at most of the shows, yes. I would assume some of the state fairs and some of the breed-run shows, they're probably pulling some of that. But I'm curious on that. I can look into that a little bit. I don't know just how many would actually go ahead and do that. And you're right. And so, if I mean, it does,
that's my deal. Like if we're just going on the honor, and I know that there is a, you know, I'm sure there's a rule in almost any of them that if protested or whatever, they can check and all this stuff. But like, there's going to be more than one person that's probably going to fudge the rules on this. Like it just is what it is. Like, anybody can get a paper and, you know, say that that's a Shorthorn or a Duroc or whatever. Yeah, I think that's a little blue, but
anyway. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely correct on that. And I can think about some of the sheep registrations for showing weathers at the Illinois State Fair, and we can throw Illinois under the bus here a little bit. It's a mess. I mean, there are no purebred sheep left for the most part. I mean, if we look one way, that's kind of the direction we're going. I don't think any breeders try to hide it. It just is what it is. Yet we're still required to register them to get into what we call the Land of Lincoln. So it's not good. And I can think back many, many years ago, that paper is not DNA verified before we started doing that. It was nothing more than registration paper, which at that time was 100% off the honor system. Ryan, I know you don't want to admit to those days, but you would have been around for those days. And I don't believe everybody was using the honor system maybe as they should. Right now, in most of our cattle associations, and I would assume we could even apply to some of the breed, the swine breeds, if we're DNA verified back to parentage and so forth, or within the swine industry, breed testing to determine what percent of actual Hampshire's there or whatever it may be and where that line is drawn. So if we match the paper now to the animal, there's some validation in my mind. I can say, yeah, that's probably pretty close. The problem is, like you said, there are very few shows that are actually pulling hair in verifying that paper matches that animal. So you're absolutely right. I would say that at this point, it's more at the upper end, exhibitors regulating each other just with the thought that they're going to call each other out if they try to pull something like that. Not a perfect system by any means. Far, far from it.
I don't care as much about jackpot shows, to be honest. Like, I'm talking when we get to the... In very not many counties, not all counties show by breed, but when you get to the county, the state fair, the national level, stuff like this, I think that whether you do papers or you do this classification system, I don't care which, because there's flaws in both. The point of this topic for me is we are to a level that we can go a different route with this to ensure that these animals are showing in the breeds that they need to be. If we truly want this to be on the up and up and be right and everything else. And well, I think the majority of people like up there in the north, probably their breed papers are pretty accurate or whatever. Down here in Texas, we don't do any of that. You say you have a black one that's polled or whatever, but some aren't. But you can go try to be an Angus or whatever the hell you want to be. Same way in all the species. You can run a black face one in the South Downs. It's not going to classify, but you can damn sure try it. You know what I'm saying? There are no rules on that. And so I just think that we are to a point that there are other ways to go about this that are far better than either one of these methods. And, you know, we've talked about some of the problems with just doing paperwork. I think that some people are very creative with their breed paperwork in all instances, and some aren't. But in terms of classification, for those of you that don't know how it works or whatever, most times it is a three-person panel that give visual appraisal on the animals that are being presented for classification. And if you get two people that say you are an Angus, a Duroc, a South Down, a whatever, then you pass. But if all three say that you're not, then you're not. If two say you're not, then you're not. It's the, you know, so two either way. You're two in, two out, but it's a three-person deal. And that has, I don't know how long this process has been at Texas Major Shows. I can tell you ever since I showed a long time ago, that's how it worked. Now, my parents used to say tales of how long time ago, you could present paperwork, and if you were questionable, you got put on the rail, and then they came back and all this other stuff. I can't speak for any of that. But ever since I showed, this is how it works. There's three people out there. You get two white chips, you're in. You get two red chips, you're out. The problem with a lot of that is I just think that that's very, very highly subjective. And some people are easier classers. Some people are very hard classers. Some people don't need to classify at all. People have, you know, friends, they have enemies. I mean, Dale, you can testify or whatever. The list with this, there's a lot of issues to be said.
I agree completely. And I have not been around the classification system, obviously, as much as you or that much at all. And when I'm in Texas in the goat arena, there is no classification. I did classify steers once or twice at Arizona as a part of the committee. And it is very, very subjective. What's interesting to me that we're classifying, but we all know those that are classifying are fully aware. And I'm not saying this is wrong or bad or anything, but we're fully aware that we in the South, we're breeding animals that may have little to no true breed ancestry of the breed we're trying to make them look like. Let's use hogs, for example. We're breeding a black pig with up ears and white points, and we can make crossbreds that have very little Berkshire influence in them, and they're going to be marked like a Berkshire. If we have a little shorter head or shorter snout, maybe to help just a little bit with that breed character from that direction, they're going to go through. And I think the same Angus steers, we can go across species that were willingly and knowingly breeding crossbred animals to look like a certain breed. And then this is where my biggest issue comes into play. We have to try to make them the best that the classifier will allow through, if that makes sense. So
yes, absolutely.
And that is where the big hurdle comes, is that classification committee, if, for example, and Ryan, you I want you to help on this because I'm not there in it, in the trenches, and haven't done it very much. But let's say an Angus steer at one of the Texas majors. Okay, the chances of the steer that wins the Angus show being A true Angus is probably...
None.
Okay, I was going to give it something.
None.
Okay, none. So with that said, we can put all the black polled cattle in there you want. They're solid black and they're truly polled. We look at their head and they're truly polled. There's a lot of black polled cattle that will not they will not classify as Angus, correct?
Yes.
No question. And I think, and we talk about maybe trying to make a little bit of an Angus head. I tell you what, I've seen a lot of Angus cattle all over the world. And there's a lot of differences in what an Angus head looks like, even within this country. And I'm not saying that we can't lean on that and say, well, they're a little more Angus headed. We can, but again, lots of maybes and ifs and a lot of other things. So it then becomes, they go across that classification committee or screening, whatever you want to call it. And if it's too good, it probably gets classed out. If it's just pretty darn good, but maybe not too good, then it classes in. So all of a sudden, it's where that classification committee decides to draw that line almost becomes your champion.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the biggest point of all of this for me is because those three people have as much power as anyone because
more.
Just like you're more, right? Because there is, like you said in the sheet, there's no such thing as a purebred sheep. Well, I'm just telling you, I can't speak for every species, but I think that's very true in all species. Like you were saying, that we are actively breeding black polled cattle to have some Angus characteristics so they can get in as an Angus, even though they may not have any Angus whatsoever at all. And I mean, this is just a side note. I cringe and laugh all the time. Like you'll see these steers at Texas Majors that are breed steers or whatever. And like, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of people, but if you have the champion Angus steer somewhere, don't put that he's a here I am on the pulse. Okay.
But it,
bad idea.
I think it's to the point where it's just accepted. And again,
it's still a bad idea.
I agree. I mean, those breeders and those people showing those animals, they're playing by the rules.
I'm not saying they're not, but it's still, no.
I know. I think if this is the game we're playing, it just is what it is. And we, so it's no longer a true breed show. It's more about, let's see how unique and how well we can breed different crosses, put different genetics together to make it look just enough like that breed that hopefully that classification committee will let it slide through. And if we make them just a little too good, then we're probably going to make it. I'm going to assume, Ryan, that sometimes when we go across a scale, if we've got a really good one, say, then we're on the Angus thing, we might as well stay with that. On the Angus steer, I don't know. I'm assuming the classification happens a day or two prior to the show.
It's all different. Yeah. I mean, San Antonio and Fort Worth did something new this year. They did it actually in the ring after the judge pulled them. San Antonio does it right before you go to the ring. Houston, it's the day before the show, so it's all different.
So with that, I want to come back. I want to circle back. Your Jensaki circle back to that.
Yeah.
And when they do it. But I'm going to say if they're doing it before they go in the, I mean, a day before they go in the ring or before you start fitting at them, let's say, I'm going to guess a lot of those exhibitors are going to make that calf look a little bit like a little tough. Maybe not. They don't need to be looking 100%. Yeah,
I mean, when for instance, like before this year at Fort Worth, no one would really clip their stuff before classification. And, you know, you didn't have them washed out, blowed out, puffed up, etc. to go through classification. Yeah, that was part of the game. If you think you've got one that's close and slick, sure, you know, maybe you don't have that one completely full and, you know, washed and clean and shiny going in thing. There's little things like that.
Just for fear of being too good for that breed. Looking too good.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
while we're circling back and we're going to jump around a lot, but I want to talk about where obviously just within the Texas majors, there's a lot of verification there's a lot of diversification and when they are classifying.
Yes.
And that's interesting to me because that's, I can remember the sheep show at Louisville, I believe the Suffolk Weather Division, the first, a couple of years ago when they decided to classify maybe at the scale.
Isn't that, they call that the Hunger Games now?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they refer to it as the Hunger Games.
It's just a mess. So yep. I don't know where, when it, let's say we're going with the classification system and we have other systems to talk about a little more yet and Ryan's fix for it all. But within classification system, primarily in the South, when should those be classified?
So this is what I think. If we stay with the classification system, I have said this for years. I don't understand it. Of course, I don't make decisions. But take for Texas, for example. We have a validation process that happens. I don't understand if we're going to continue with this, why we just don't get it over with right then, right there.
I think it's a good idea, other than you've got multiple people. You don't have the same people classifying.
People classifying at every show either. People don't do Fort Worth, San Antonio, Houston. Doesn't work for me.
No, I mean, at least if you're at Fort Worth and you have the same committee of three, you're going under the same committee. Everybody at that show has to meet their standard. I agree.
I can see points in that.
But what about so to be your?
But hold on. But just let me finish this. I mean, but if you did it at validation, like for example, on the steers, it's towards the end of June. I don't know the exact date. This is the final classification, but it's toward the end of June. Then all these people have from June to January to get over it if their Angus didn't make it, come up with a different plan. Hell, some of them may just take that thing straight to the sale barn right after that because they know there's no way in hell they're getting a brand. If their Southdown doesn't classify at validation, they know there's no way in hell it's getting a brand in the medium, what we call the medium wools, what Yankees would refer to as crossbreds, whatever. I think it would definitely solve a lot of issues for a lot of families in that, instead of it happening right then and there at the show, and there is no recourse. You can't go get a different one. You can't, it is what it is. So I've just always thought that it should be done at validation. And I know there are problems with that. And I think a very obvious one is what you said. It's not the same three people.
You're going to pay off your county agent. That is the problem.
Okay. There's just as many problems with doing it.
Yes.
At the show.
You're probably right. I'm okay.
As there is here. And the reason I am a proponent of it happening at validation is then you have time to get a different game plan.
Maybe what we're getting at is there is no really good system. There is no good way to classify. It's almost impossible.
No, because like I said, Fort Worth did it inside. Like Mark Hogue was judging. He pulled the ones he thought were the best. They went straight to the classification line, got classified there in the ring. It went a lot better than most people thought it was going to. I'm going to give them credit. That it goes that way there. San Antonio, you classify as you're going in the holding area, and Houston, you do it the day before. I don't know if any of those are any better than I could sit here and make a case and tear down each and every single one of those and say, well, this is why this is the best way to do it, and this is why this is the worst way to do it. So that part, I don't know, but I think we are, and I guess unless you have way more other points to make on this, my deal is there's a much better way to do this that makes it all legit.
Yes. But before we even go there, I want to finish on your where the best time to classify is. And you're right. Think about that. I mean, when are they buying? Our majors are in late February through March, correct? Right.
Yeah.
So they're buying. They have those steers pretty much, what, 12 to 16 months in advance of the show?
Some, yeah.
12 months? Yeah. And maybe some a little less, but for a long time. Let's go with that.
I would say it averages out to be a year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, and I get it. Think about that person that fed that calf that long to get to that gate. Which one did you said San Antonio do it right before you come in?
Right, yep.
And all of a sudden, you're out. Can you then show as a cross?
Yes, if you were out at San Antonio, you go back to your stall, and then you show as a black crossbred, a red crossbred, or an other color crossbred. Now, if you have to go reclassify as a black or a red, and if you're out of them, then you finally get to show as an AOC. The thing about
when we go out as a black or red, it's because we're just not enough black and just not enough red.
Yeah, I mean, they have classifications. You can only have so much white, so here, etc. So yeah, there are things like that. Just because you're 50% black-hided or 50% red-hided does not guarantee you in the reds or the cross or the black crossbreds. Okay, so yeah, no. So you get yours primed up, pumped up, ready to go, and you're no longer an Angus. Well, then you may have to wait. You got to wait till the black crossbreds. You may not be a black crossbred. And then you're showing in the AOCs or whatever. But, like, there's a possibility you have to get your calf ready 3 times within a week. Most times when this happens, you have to stay over for the – because now we're in waves. We talked about that on the, you know, Rona episode. So now you're there for a whole nother wave. I mean, there's complications with it, but I'm not saying that method is any worse than or any better than the other ones.
No, at least they get to show. So what about at Fort Worth when they're classifying the ring? Same thing, they can still go to another breed?
No.
Done.
Fort Worth, if you don't classify, you're done.
So here's some validity to your classifying at nomination time. And for those of you in the North that don't understand nominations, basically each county is going to have their own classification or nomination day where the county agent and some other staff are out there and they're going to tag all the different species of market animals in for the majors. I don't know about the breeding side. I assume they're not tagging them. But anyway,
yeah, heifers get tags.
They do get tagged. So
yeah, I think everything gets
so tagged. I guess the big plus is there, if it's just not going to make it, like Ryan said, you're not feeding it that long. But let's say you take a black, an Angus, and we keep using that as an example just to stay consistent. You have had that thing on feed for a year. You go in there and you're out. I mean, yeah. That's a hard one to swallow. And you are polled. And you have as much Angus in it as 90% of them that didn't get kicked out. But just a little bit too good.
A lot of times not that. But anyway, like that's the problem. If you watch classification, and I've watched it almost every year of my life, and now, you know, I don't have dogs in the hunt of it, but like to watch any of it, and it doesn't matter who's doing it, or what breed it is, how does that one get in and this one not? How does that one get kicked out but that one did it? There are examples of that time and time again in every single line. I don't care if it is hogs. I don't care if it's sheep. I don't care if it's steers. Every single line, every single show, you can sit there and not have one and be like, well, I don't know how that one gets in and this one does or vice versa and all this other stuff. And it is not because of anything I think that is very malicious, but it is just an opinion, and it is 3 people's opinion. So it's very subjective.
No, it very. So with that, who, and this is part of it, and I want to take just a little side tour on this, Ryan, who, if we're going to continue to classify it, I'm pretty sure they're going to, I don't think they're going to change everything immediately, because we don't approve of everything about it. Who should be doing the classifications?
Well, I can only speak in the steer deal. I would assume it's this way in everything, but normally on the 3-person committee, it is a county agent, an ag teacher, and then they have someone that the breed sends. And that's what they have done for years and years and years. And there is an official list like that you have to be put on. And what, I mean, they just, you, and all this other stuff. But yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you. And there are some people that have done this for a very long time that they don't have any more business out there classifying than a man in the moon. And I'm going to like say it. A lot of times it is the people that the breed rep sends. And I know that sounds the most illogical of it all, but I'm just telling you that's how it is.
That's interesting to me. And if we're playing the political game, not only with the judge in the ring, do you think there's a little bit of that in the classification area?
Oh, I'm telling you, the classification deal, at least on the steer side, I can't speak for the sheep and the hog people. It is as cutthroat and political as it is. And it's not just like if you, it's not just if I have a personal issue with Mr. X that's out there classifying. A lot of times Mr. X is buddies with homeboy over here, and he knows homeboy's kid's fixing to show whatever. So maybe he's just a little harder on all the good ones that come through except for his buddies.
Or maybe that classifier's tied to one of the breeders.
It's same thing. Same exact thing. Yeah. So it is as cutthroat and political as anything.
And it's even more complicated. It's not just about letting that one that they're associated with through, but rather knocking a couple others out that might be able to beat them.
Correct.
It's a mess. And I'm not even in the trenches with it.
You would literally have an aneurysm.
Oh, it would be a challenge.
If you would have an aneurysm.
Just a challenge. So I don't know who should be those classifiers, but just like anything else, and I'm going to just call it how it is, good, bad, or indifferent, but at the Texas majors, not so much in the other species, but in the goats and the sheep, there's oftentimes a lot of Texas judges that have been in those circles for a very long time judging those shows. So clearly they know the breeders, they know some of the kids, they know a lot of things, and that makes it very, very complicated to sort with no bias. No matter how hard you try, it makes it difficult. And those classifiers, Ryan, that you talk about that have been on that list forever, I mean, I guarantee you that most of those classifiers have a pretty good idea on the top end where those are coming from, maybe even a little bit about some of those families that are showing them. It would be a complete and total disaster if you brought people in from somewhere else to do it. For example, myself, I am not experienced enough to do it, but say in the steer ring or the hog ring, I'm separated from that enough that they're going to come through and I'm going to give them a pretty honest call because I'm not in those trenches. I don't know where this hog came from, or I don't recognize that kid. So in an ideal world, you'd have people classifying that don't have that in their background, but those people probably aren't as qualified to do it. It's almost an impossible situation.
I'm not saying that there is a easy answer. And like I said, I'm not saying that the breed paper system up in y'all's deal works any better than classification or whatever. There's holes you can shoot in all of this stuff. But and the only reason I want to bring this up is because, like we have said a million times on here, if you don't evolve and you don't change, then things go to shit. And we are at a point now that there is another way to handle this.
Please address it.
And I'm going to use LSU, their show, as an example, because they implemented this year. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea how well it went, whatever, but I did get the post. I do understand what they did. And I think that this is something that we should all think about. So LSU had a Brahmin influence show this year. And so what they did, and they called it a pilot. And so what they did is you had to submit blood and hair samples for DNA, and they sent it off to Neogen, and they said the turnaround time was going to be 3 to 4 weeks, but you had to be a minimum of 25% Boss Indicus to classify in their Brahmin influence show. Now, and I kudos for them for trying something different. I hope it worked well. I hope it went great. I do not have any of that information. But just using that as an example, I do know that when we validate in Texas, we have to submit hair. I don't think it's that much more difficult to submit blood if you have to. 3 to 4 weeks, all of these validations are done much earlier than 3 to 4 weeks before the first major show. My point is, if you do this and you run that test, come back, okay, you can be this, this, or this. Because let's be honest, Dale, you don't know the classification rules or guidelines for all the breeds or any of the breeds, but they're all different. Like, it's not a blanket thing. You have to be a purebred Angus, purebred Hereford, purebred Brahmin, whatever. That's not how it works, which makes things even more complicated. But it comes back, your calf can be an Angus, a Black Crossbred, or an AOC. Then that exhibitor and that family knows where they can show way far in advance at major shows. These are your three options. Now, what the hell's wrong with that?
And each show can set their own guidelines, what number they want, and there'd be a little conflict with the breeds. But for the most part, the show has control of doing that. I get it. I get it. We're still going to have that issue that there's going to be some costs. There's going to be some logistics that has to be sent in before, but not a big deal. We do that for market shows and crossbred animals and different things. So
I think the exhibitors and the people validating probably wouldn't mind paying the extra to know what their hell their future is.
No, I think that's good. Now, and this is going to get down into the trenches too deep, whether it's cattle or swine, and I shouldn't even speak on this because I don't know on the sheep side, but I'm going to guess that they don't even have that genetic map to go one way or another. I'm probably misspeaking, and maybe they do, but there's never been mention of any. I don't know where they'd even get their base. So a couple things I want to address with it. The genetic testing that gives you your 70% Angus or your 20% Berkshire or whatever it may be. I want everybody out there to understand that genetic testing and looking for those specific markers that indicate they are of this origin is only as good as the ones we deemed full bloods, purebreds, whatever you want to call it, when searching for those markers not that terribly long ago. So what I'm getting at is by the time we had the technology to do this, I think there had been a lot of crossbreeding within each species, within each breed. So we're starting with an animal that probably wasn't a true full blood, if there is such a thing, to a certain degree, trying to find the markers to indicate, okay, this is our full blood. So whatever that was, that's now what we have to match. And that's fine. But it's not a perfect system because of that. I think through technology, they've sorted it out and done a pretty nice job. I think it's the best tool that we have by far. So with that said, Ryan, you're right. Now, the other thing that we have to do is, like you said, with those papers, we have to make sure that animal at the show obviously is the same one that they nominated earlier. I don't think it's realistic to test all of them again, but if you just hit what your champion and reserves or the ones that make the premium sale or some form of that to verify this is the same animal.
I agree with that. To keep 100% honesty, then you're going to have to like make sure that one is the one that was submitted at class at validation, et cetera. And I see that. I know that point. But I am just saying, with all the holes that we have pointed out in all of these other theories and when to do it and how to do it and whatever, all this other stuff, while I agree with you, I know that there's some gray area in this and there's some added expense and some other stuff like that. But this testing is only going to improve with time. You would have to agree with that. Like,
yes,
but
we still have that base that we had to make a commitment. These genetic markers indicate Angus. No. These genetic and right. those are off. They're not perfect. So we have to be careful with that.
That's what I said. You can't tell me that doing this type of testing to determine the authenticity of what that animal is made up of is not a better system than the other two.
No, I'm sorry, I
will argue with you.
No, I love the idea. What I would like about it, because of the genetics involved in it, I would love that. And I would have to go into the breeding of something that would show at these shows. I couldn't resist it, because over several generations, you know what I could do. I guarantee it. If it was just based off the genetic testing, and I don't know how deep they were going to go into it. If they're just looking at, let's say we have to be 60% Angus to show as an Angus, which is way better than where it is right now classifying. I think you could manipulate your breeding program as a breeder, and you could have a multicolored, whatever color you want, chromed up animal that still meets that 60% or whatever level they set it at. In other words, I think if we were to do this, you would have animals that would have very little resemblance of what a person traditionally thinks that breed should look like. So maybe you have to tack on, they still have to be black, they still have to be whatever, in addition to the genetic testing.
And like I don't want to lie. I think maybe the Angus steer deal, it does still say that you have to be purebred or have purebred Angus characteristics or whatever. I don't know, but then you're back to that
classification part that comes into play. It becomes a part of it.
Right. And so, but I just think that there's way more legitimacy in at least throwing this idea out there and saying, this is something y'all might want to think about for the future, because at least, and I know the base may not be 100%, whatever, all this other stuff. A test being run with genetic markers and all this other stuff, that is way more accurate than somebody that slapped a set of papers on this calf and said it was an Angus steer or three people's visual appraisal of it. And I will argue that.
No, I'm with you. Death. I get it. And I wanted to come back. I put a little thought into it. On our registration papers, if this steer has that registration paper, it is never checked unless there is a protest, a formal protest, at least at the shows that I'm aware of. And by the time they send that off, we're a month after the show's over. But I mean, it's probably not a great system by any means. I know if, and I'm going to come back to your genetic testing, I think it's a good idea, but I'm afraid what would happen. I don't know where each show would set their percentages, and it'd be good to have a uniform standard that most could adopt, I should say. But how many shows are going to get along and adopt what the other one is, especially the Texas majors?
I'm pretty sure Texas majors have the exact, like, there was a classification symposium and all this other.
Yep.
I mean, I am almost positive that the qualifications to classify are the same at all the Texas majors.
For the person to classify. Or the animal. That's possible.
For the animal to classify.
I can assure you that this was tried on the drug testing side, and none of them want to cooperate. I shouldn't say that. They're not as cooperative about a standardized drug testing. So sometimes the Texas majors are a little bit proud and maybe don't want to do what the others do, but you would almost have to have you would have to standardize it to a certain degree.
I'm pretty sure it's already that way.
Yeah, there's no way the breeders could just say, well, I'm breeding for San Antonio only, not Houston, right, not for Angelo. But I know because of color dominance in the different species, and because we have certain colors associated with certain breeds, I know everything in the cattle world is black, but in the other worlds, they're not necessarily that way. Let's take pigs, for example. We could have a spotted up red pig or a calico or whatever showing pretty much as whatever breed we wanted if we worked on that genetic profile and bred for such to get to that level that classifies as a Hamp or classifies as a Duroc or whatever. So that's the only issue that I see with it is there's going to have to be something else because we could darn sure breed animals to test at whatever level they set it at, depending on what that level is. But for the most part, that look nothing like what a traditional animal of that breed looks like or what it's supposed to look like. And maybe that doesn't matter because in all reality, it still has more Angus or more whatever in it than probably most of them that would classify that did look that way. So I love the idea. I think that is a better system, even if we have an Angus that has white on its flank or whatever, that somewhere where it shouldn't by breed standards classify. But right. But better. Yeah, I'm okay with that. And I think this is interesting because if it wasn't with my association going to the Texas majors and traveling the country to help families and with our kids showing, I wouldn't know that much about classifications. Not that I do, other than it does exist. But a lot of the show families up here in the north, some of them are probably totally unaware that this is even a thing that, well, you have to have papers to show at your state fair as a breed. Well, no, you get into Oklahoma and particularly into, I'd say more so Texas is the one. I don't even know if they're, no steers have papers, do they?
Unless no.
They're going to show it at their junior national.
If you want to go to a junior national, whatever, but no, I would say 85% of them don't. And like, it's not even you. A question like I'm just gonna lay something out there. So like a couple of years ago there was a family that had a legit DNA verified, you name it, whatever, all the things, red Angus deer. That calf doesn't classify, and they can't show that paperwork or show that anything to any of the classifiers, so it doesn't matter, you're just out. So yeah, we have no paperwork,
means nothing
to us. Yeah.
So what's interesting up here, for the most part, if you do have papers and it doesn't even look like that breed, or I shouldn't say doesn't even look like it, it would, in other words, we can show animals here because we have papers that would never classify in the South.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. It's a different world. And I tell you what, as breeders, you have to decide if you're, And again, it's a small portion, at least up here, that are breeding, and not small. There are people breeding for Shorthorn steers, Hereford steers, whatever. But it's a different world, totally different world, than if I'm trying to breed for the same thing in the South or to sell to the South. So two different worlds, as far apart as you could probably make them.
Yeah,
and you know which one I enjoy. I would enjoy the process of breeding to make one look like an Angus or whatever that doesn't have anything in it. That's a challenge. What I don't like is that damn line moves just how good you can make them without getting too good that you class out. That's my problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This was good. This was enjoyable.
And just one final note on the whole thing. Just like you said, that line that moves how good you can make them to class out. I think if the line was consistent every time, it would be one thing, but it's not.
It would be almost an ideal system, but it is impossible.
Right. It is impossible. And so that's the thing. That one right there, that one stays, and that one's the champion, because all the other ones that were right there beside it or close to it got kicked out. So yeah, that's the issue. And that's why I thought needed to bring this up. And there is, and I don't think that any show is going to change overnight, but until LSU did this, I hadn't even heard about anybody thinking about it, even though I had brought it up to you several years ago. Like, why are, you know, but when, and this has been on the radar for months, and it just didn't get on there because as soon as I heard LSU doing it, I brought it up to Dale. But now that a show has done it, I just want to put it out there and, you know, let other people, not that they weren't aware, but get the conversation going, because I do think, even though there are problems and there's no perfect solution, I think the biggest issue that people would throw up was it's an added cost. And you listeners in Texas or whatever, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think they would gripe and complain about the added cost to know that far in advance what their future holds. I understand the point that Dale has that the marker, the base may not be perfect. It's still going to be better than three people's visual appraisal. And finally, I know this stuff takes time, but we have the time. So that's my
point. I think that would be the most exhibitor-friendly, customer-friendly, yes, all of those things. No question whatsoever. There just would have to be, you'd either have to draw the line and say, okay, they have to also be of that color or whatever. Otherwise, we are going to have them looking way different. And I'm even okay with that, as long as they meet that percentage in the genetic markers. So that is interesting to me. I have one more. There is another way to do this, and we're not there yet, but you're going to think I've gone off the deep end again. But you know my thoughts on artificial intelligence and how much I use ChatGPT, that there's some amazing things that can be done there if the Breed Association, I don't care what committee, were to video, here's 1,000 animals that classify as an Angus. And through artificial intelligence, that goes into a data bank. And all of a sudden, we have certain characteristics, whether it's head shape or body type or obviously color and all of those things that come into play. If you started with a very solid group, which again, it's only going to be as good as what you start with, but it would create a standard that all of a sudden you walk them through the scan area or video area, and AI is immediately going to say yes or no, you're done. And you could do this back at classification time, just like you talked about. And we think, well, there's no way that artificial intelligence can do something like that. In all actuality, we probably could right now. Think about what they do with facial recognition and how good that is, that it could be done. I'm not in the mood to go ahead and take on a project like that, and it would be a project, but I think it could be done. Maybe way too far out there, but that would give you that. You remember you talked about that standardization on classifications? That would probably do it. I like your other concept better, the testing. And in full disclosure, I do not know enough about the swine testing and the genetic markers and what percentage you need to be to register as a Hampshire or Yorkshire or the breeds that are requiring that. But obviously, I'm aware that those numbers are there. And to my knowledge, each year they bumped up just a little bit until they get to a certain number. So it's happening within the paper, within the breed registries to a certain degree. And I couldn't tell you outside of the swine what the cattle breeds are doing or anything like that. But those genetic markers and testing for what percent purity, I guess, if you want to call it that, these animals are. And in the swine situation, if you weren't at that level, you weren't allowed to register, or you had to breed up to that level. I have no idea in the mechanics of that and where that is at the moment, but it does exist. So this is interesting. This was good, Ryan. This was your idea here just not very long ago. It's time. Let's do this one.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you would like to add to it before we go into your sponsor for question and answer?
No, I'm good. And I want to thank Basic Animal Health, Clint and Tiffany Leonard, for being the question and answer sponsor for this week. Basic Animal Health offers a full line of all-natural support for your livestock. Basic Animal Health's Show Focus is an all-natural, calming, and focused supplement formulated to help your animal remain calm and focused while still looking alert and sharp in the show ring. Show Focus also offers added responsiveness to the handler's cues while encouraging natural movement and athletic performance. Show Focus will help you get your cattle, pigs, sheep, or goats to the show the way you want them to by allowing them to focus on you and still look their very best. Basic Animal Health products can be purchased online at Basic
basicanimalhealth.com. Thank you, Basic Animal Health and the Leonard family.
Thank you. Greatly appreciated. Michelle gives you the first question. I was wondering if, this is not good, if either of you have an opinion on average daily gain being used as a part of the show.
That's the question.
That's the question. This was condensed. I believe this is one that Clifton had sent, and it was a very large paragraph, but that was
average daily gain don't mean jack. There, I'm done. Thank you.
So, I mean, it's trying to tie it to the real world. And Ryan, this is
good luck with that with me.
So this is I just want to point out an example that at the Illinois State Fair, there was a time that, and I would have to go back and look, that purebred.
There might have been a time where the Illinois State Fair wasn't toxic either, but that ain't the time.
No, this it was even toxic then. It was already, that part was already there. That the steers from the time you nominated and you'd have to take them and weigh them in until showtime, that I believe purebreds had to gain 2 pounds a day on average, and crossbreds maybe 2.2 pounds a day on average, or they weren't even allowed to show.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still, now Illinois State Fair, this is gone. They no longer do this, but even afterwards they would still, and maybe they do today, and they don't do it today. They would still, even when they let go of that rule, there was a time frame where you would pace the average daily gain on the weight on the exhibitor card. So judges, if they chose, could see what that calf gained. And there are, I do get questions from different county fairs. It seems like county fair committees bring this is reoccurring all of the time, that they want to put average daily gains on those animals being shown at the county fair. So
you're making me go further into this than I need to. So, but anyway, I got two big issues with this bullshit right here. Number one,
Lasix. Is that your first one?
Well, no, that's actually my second one. Okay. But number one, we have said on here, and it's the truth. I'm not saying it should be this way. In every species, we are showing more mature animals than ever before.
More mature? How about the most mature?
Okay. This is what I'm saying. So that's the average daily gain bullshit back in when, you know, you drove your buggy with your horse to the show or whatever. That was to make sure that they, you know, actually grew and all this other. These animals are heavier now in all species than ever. Okay?
That maybe does not mean they grew faster.
It has nothing to do with it, but I'm just saying this is dumb. With the animals as mature as they are, this is not even should be a component. And yes, number two, there are still some counties that have an average daily gain award or all this other stuff. Do you know how easy it is to manipulate that through Lasix or not giving an animal water 72 hours before the weigh-in or pumping 3 buckets of water in the steer right before you go weigh it in at the county fair to have it gain 100? Don't go there with me.
No. When they put those rules in place, if they're trying to do it from any humane aspect, that
there is nothing humane about winning an average daily gain award. There's nothing. So no, I'm out. I mean, even, and I, this is going to offend people, even people with zero to no show experience can screw with and cheat at average daily gain. So yeah, no, I'm out.
Done. Over. Michelle, how was that answer? I think it was an answer, but I don't know what shows. I'm guessing I'm sure there's shows above the county fair that still have some of those things in place. And again, it's an effort to make it back to the real world, but the manipulation that goes into such it does not work. Period. Just doesn't. Megan has the next question. There has been a push at our county fair to separate the competitive families from those that just go to the county fair and possibly other local shows. What are your thoughts?
What does she mean by separate?
I think it means we have two shows. We have a competitive show at the county fair, and we have a county fair show that is people that just show at the county fair.
Who the hell decides who's competitive and who's not?
I do not have that.
This is the dumbest question ever.
I think what she's saying is that this was brought up by her county board. I'm not saying she thinks it's a good idea. She's saying.
No, I'm not either, but like, I'm not trying to insinuate this listener is dumb. There's not enough information to give an answer on this because just saying they're going to separate competitive families from non-competitive, like,
I think
what are the qualifications?
I'm going to make an assumption. Those that only show at your county fair or maybe one other local show is that would be it. I don't know. Then you know what I can see Ryan doing? Okay. So Ryan, you're going to be in the competitive part. And Cherie's going to make you show at your county fair once again.
Yes, she did every damn year.
So you, if this rule's in play, you show in the competitive part. And because Cherie wants to win everything.
We're going to go find some dumbass kid that's never shown one before to win the other contest.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Trust me. I've had to do it. Yeah. And no. Yeah, don't you worry about it.
So
no,
those,
and I'm not trying to insinuate this listener's dumb, but.
No, I think
this is dumb in general, and there's not quite enough information here to give a complete response. But separating a show at any level other than showmanship, like there are several shows that there is what they call a novice or a rookie division for showmanship, that if that kid has never shown that species until this year, they have them in that showmanship division. I can see that. Other than that, for that one instance, that is absolutely asinine to separate any type of stock show by a family or an exhibitor's competitiveness. I can't even get that word out this morning. Yeah, that's really stupid.
I would
use another word, but then I would probably offend some people. But that's really dumb.
So in Megan's defense, I don't believe she's at all in favor of this. She was just throwing it out there that, hey, our county fair is thinking about this. And I'm sure she's pretty happy with the answer that we have, but would like to convey that on to those that are deciding on such.
I would just love to know exactly. I mean, if anybody tried to. What exactly the qualification? Okay, you're competitive. I mean, in this world right now, do you not think that the families that were not allowed to show in the competitive division would be just as vain? Okay, you just the local yokel idiots. This is your class. Good luck. That's insane and offensive on both sides.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daniel has a question for you. This must be county fair week for our question and answer. Thank you for all you do. I love the podcast. I think that's you, for you, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I just returned from a county fair where those in charge and the judge had the sheep, goats, and cattle line up showing on the, and the wording's a little different, showing on the offside to the judge. In other words, they had them back going the wrong way. So when the judge is looking at him, he's constantly standing on the off show side. How is it possible that judges and show staff do not know better? Have you ever seen this happen?
Yes, I have seen it happen.
You want to just explode?
We were at a show together one time that your child was showing at that this happened, and I thought you were literally going to have an aneurysm.
It was not health.
Anyway. The judge, obviously, if the judge participated in this the whole way through, I would hope that the judge would know better.
How could they not?
If he didn't stop it, then that's very concerning.
If you know better, how can you not stop it?
And the only thing that I am going to say,
pull the fire alarm, stop the whole show, and say this is not right.
The only thing that I am going to say. There have been rare instances, and when I mean rare instances, I mean a handful of instances at the county fair level where I have been told we are doing it this way, and it wasn't
You get in your car and you go home then.
We are doing it this way regardless. And they would not, whatever. And so then in those very few rare instances, I'm not saying this was the case, I screamed, I yelled, I whatever. It did not work. So it's either you leave and those exhibitors don't have a judge for their show, or you tough it out. I think it's asinine. I think it's stupid, but he did say it's a county fair. I'm not trying to give the judge credit if whatever. I have seen this. I have. And actually, I'm glad this question came out, because the saddest thing is I will tell you that there is a higher percentage of people in charge at a county fair that don't know the right way to do it. And most of them, when you explain it, this is how we need to do it, they're fine with it. But there is a much higher percentage at county fairs that don't know how it needs to go down, don't know how it needs to happen. And the truly shocking thing is what this guy's saying. They were set up on the wrong way. The judge was always on the offside. All this other stuff. Not only does it look stupid, it's confusing to the kids, but this actually happens at more shows than you would ever think about it. I'm not saying it happens at a majority. It doesn't. But I would, again, say the percentage of shows this happens at is far too high.
I don't think I should comment.
But you were just at one not long ago where you were screaming about this.
I want to come out of the crowd and walk into the ring.
I mean, it was within a few months. I remember you screaming, yelling at me over it. I was like, I have nothing to do with it. I'm not even there.
I don't understand. Even a person that's only judged one show, you have to have been at shows showing, or there has to be some knowledge that this is how it works. This is how the kids have been trained to set those animals up and to show those animals. I even get concerned when the judges go a lot to the offside and the kids are flipping on the sheep and goats with what side
they're wears me out.
I would rather they just stuck that animal like it's normally stuck. And it's okay. Don't flip back and forth. It's a big thing on the West Coast. It got me years ago. I think at California State Fair when I was judging maybe the goats, when they're bouncing back and forth, and it really, I got on the microphone and said something, but that was probably the wrong thing to do because it just confused them because they were trained to do that. And that's fine. I'm not used to it. And when we've got one stuck, the last thing I want to do is take your leg out of that one or whatever, or to release any pressure so they're going to step out or what might happen, just so I can move a little bit because the judge walked around the other side. When they probably walked around the other side for who knows what reason, but just, yeah. Enough on that topic. Excellent episode today, Ryan. I thought this went very well. The world is coming to an end, but the show world is still great. All you shows out there, talk to those at the 208 qualifier and find out where they get their neon lights. They probably only want to do that for their show, though. But those are nice. I would take one of those in replacement of my judging fee.
There you go.
Thank you again. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?